This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Courtney Donahoe on Bloomberg.
Let's start, though, with Dan Clifton, because he can talk about the campaign. He is partner, head of policy research, Strategus Research Partners. Dan, good to have you with us here on Bloomberg.
Thank you for having me on today, Pim.
All right. So you've managed to make it through two political conventions. Anything unique that you think happened as a result of both of those conventions?
I do. But we got to take a step back first, Pim, and say, okay, what happened from April to the end of August? Both campaigns spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and the polling did not move one bit. It started at 46-46. By the time we got out of the Republican convention, it was 46-46. And yet over this weekend, we saw a major change in the data that has been relatively stable for all these months. And you're really starting to see President Obama get a bounce out of his convention. And that not only is he getting a bounce in the head-to-head, but the key to a presidential reelection campaign is what's that president's approval rating. And the president has been significantly below 50% all year, and now you're seeing him close to that 50%, and some tracking he's over 50%. And so I think the race changed. It's just a question of how long that bounce is going to stay. Do you go back to normal? Was this really because of Bill Clinton and not Barack Obama? Those are questions that are out there, but the data has really changed over the last couple of days.
Tell me who you think is going to win the election, and I want not only the presidential picks, but also House and Senate.
Sure. I would say if you asked me that 2 weeks ago, I would say that, and we were a little bit out of consensus on this, that Romney was probably the slight favorite because you had incumbent polling so bad that the undecideds would break. And I think that that has shifted, and Obama would be the slight advantage at this point, and the debates will loom large when we get there. I would remind you that, you know, 55 days is still a long time, and things can happen before then. Second, we think the Republicans are going to keep the House. They're probably going to lose 12 to 15 seats. So not only are you going to have a smaller Republican majority, it's probably also going to be a more conservative majority. Republicans will lose seats in Illinois, California, New York, and pick up seats in more conservative areas like North Carolina and Oklahoma. And I think that that's going to cause some headaches for Speaker Boehner next year. And then in the Senate, it's 50-50. It can go one way or another. And I think which way the presidential race turns is going to turn a lot of these key states in Virginia, Missouri, Indiana, and Florida. And so you can get into a situation where we can have a deadlock Senate or a 50-49 and one independent because of the independent candidate in Maine. And basically what I'm describing to you, Pim, is a 51-49 presidential race, a narrow majority in the House and a split Senate. We are truly a 50-50 country.
Dan, Vinny Catalano, how are you?
Hey, Vinny, how are you?
Good. Pim mentioned before about the Tea Party. Can you talk a little bit about the flexibility that moderate Republicans are going to have when you have the Tea Party, which is pretty adamant about their views? And by the way, if no one has seen the Charles Koch commentary today in Wall Street Journal, I strongly recommend that you take a look at it because it articulates a Tea Party philosophy. So could you give us your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. And it's important not to group people into one category, I think, particularly when we talk about the House of Representatives. When we came out, there was about 80, came out of the midterm election, there was about 80 freshmen. They were all considered Tea Party. And what we've learned over the last year and a half or so is that they're not all Tea Party. And I think that we're down to about 30 or 40. And the reason why that's important is that there's going to have to be a deal on the fiscal cliff. We're going to have to raise a debt ceiling at some point. And I do believe that there's enough flexibility to make a deal because that group has gotten smaller. That being said, is that you're starting to see a more conservative Republican caucus. They see $16 trillion of debt. When they first got elected, it was $14 trillion of debt just 2 years ago. So they're seeing that $1 trillion add up every time, and they're saying, well, we got to start cutting spending. And that's where the real risk comes into play. The longer that we wait to do things, the larger debt is going to be, the more extreme the proposals are going to be. But I ultimately think that we're really headed for a big deal on budget issues in 2013 because they really have no other choice. We talk a lot about the fiscal cliff. Well, the fiscal cliff is really the budgetary cost of keeping this year's law in place next year. And if we did that and kick the can down the road this year, then it becomes about $1 trillion next year, and that's unsustainable. And I think the Republican leadership and the Democratic leadership understand that. And we're pretty optimistic we're going to get a budget deal in 2013 because we have no other choice.
Well, Dan, what about the jobs report Friday? How much did it hurt, say, the president coming out of the convention?
Well, if the president can have 1 week to have a bad jobs report, it was right after a great Democratic convention. But it really does show that the economy is what's driving this election. There's a very strong inverse correlation between the president's approval rating and the unemployment rate. And so he got a big bounce coming out of his convention. The jobs report, which we have 2 or 3 days of tracking, really hasn't reduced that very much. But at the end of the day, voters are going to vote on how they feel. University of Michigan consumer sentiment remains at 73, the same level it was when George Herbert Walker Bush and Jimmy Carter lost. And so there's a real risk to the president if he doesn't get jobs growing. I would say that Draghi and Bernanke are kind of putting a floor underneath the economy through their actions. They're just going to make sure that it doesn't get worse. At the end of the day, you need job creation, you need income growth, because that's what people vote for. The risk for the president is he's at 46-47% come mid-October. Then the undecideds will start breaking away from him. He's got to be able to get the economy stronger and have the trajectory of the economy pull him over the finish line.
I want to thank you very much for joining us, Dan Clifton, head of policy research, Strategus Research Partners.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2012, Bloomberg LP.